Turning in your Bibles this morning to Leviticus chapter 23. Leviticus chapter 23, and we want to look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we pray this morning that there would indeed be nothing between our soul and our Savior, the one who loved us unto death. We understand that the only thing that is standing between us is our own will. We pray this morning that as we see the Lamb today, the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world, we pray that you would help us to remove every barrier between us and him, that those who are lost might come to know you as their Savior, and that those who are saved may live for you. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning we want to consider some thoughts concerning the message of Easter as is presented here in Leviticus chapter 23. And the great message of Easter is in the timing of the events of these days. And we want to see that timing here. In this chapter, Leviticus chapter 23, we have the feasts of the Lord. Look at verse 4. These are the feasts of the Lord, even holy convocations, which ye shall proclaim in their seasons. In the 14th day of the first month at even is the Lord's Passover. The first feast, as we see here in verse 5, is the Lord's Passover. It takes place in the 14th day of the first month at even. And what is the first month? Well, in Esther chapter 3 and verse 7, we are told that the first month is the month Nisan. That month, that name has a very interesting meaning. It means their flight. Their flight. And it's the first month because the Lord told his people there in Egypt, in Exodus chapter 12 and verse 2, "This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you." And it's like that because on the 14th day of this month, Nisan, in the evening, the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel was to kill the Passover lamb. The lamb that was to be without blemish and without spot. And they were then to take the blood of the lamb and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses where they were. And the message from heaven was, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. That message hasn't changed. That message shall never change. We sing that song, "Dear dying lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose its power. When I see the blood, I will pass over you." This was the beginning of months for these people. And I would just say that when we trust the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, whatever month of the year it is, whatever month between January and December, that month becomes the beginning of months for us, whatever month it is. Because life begins at Calvary. And on that night, on the 14th day of Nisan, the people of God made their flight. That's what the name Nisan means. They made their flight from the bondage and the slavery of Egypt, not in their own strength, not in their own power, but by the power of the blood of the Passover lamb. And the shedding of the blood of the Passover lamb there in Egypt on that 14th day of Nisan is a picture of the time when Christ, our Passover, the time when the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, without blemish and without spot, would shed His blood and be sacrificed for us on the cross of Calvary. And He was. He was. The Lord Jesus was crucified, and He died in the evening of the 14th day of Nisan. That was a Wednesday. Now look at verse 6 here. And on the 15th day of the same month is the feast of unleavened bread unto the Lord. 7 days ye must eat unleavened bread. This 15th day of the same month, this 15th day of Nisan, is the day that John talks about. In John chapter 19 and verse 31, where he writes, the Jews therefore, because it was the preparation for this feast of unleavened bread, this feast that was a high day, that would begin at 6 p.m. As this Wednesday, the 14th day, ended, and Thursday began. Now, folks, you have to remember here. And as I've gotten older, old, let's be honest, I have to think about this because I have to go back and remember how God measured and bounded His 24-hour days in Genesis chapter 1. We've talked about this a lot, but it's not going to hurt us to remember it. He bounded those days. He defined those 24-hour days as evening and morning. So that's why we're saying at 6 p.m. as this Wednesday ended and this Thursday began. This was the high day. The Jews, therefore, John tells us, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that day was an high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken, that they might be taken away. And you remember, we talked about this last week. Pilate gives the command, and the soldiers go, and they break the legs of the two thieves who are on either side of the Lord Jesus. But when they come to the Lord, He's already dead. They don't break His legs. And so the Lord Jesus is taken down. There's a certain sense of urgency about this. He's taken down. And Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, they wind His body in 100-pound mixture of myrrh and aloes. And they place Him in the tomb just before 6 p.m. on Wednesday the 14th of Nisan. And Joseph of Arimathea, the last thing he does, it was his tomb, is he rolls a great stone to the door of the sepulcher. And he departs. And so the 15th day of Nisan, the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, begins at sunset on Wednesday and goes until sunset on Thursday. This is the Lord's first night and day in the grave. And I believe we see that here. Look at verse 7. In the first day of this Feast of Unleavened Bread, the 15th day of Nisan, in the first day ye shall have an holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein. I want you to notice those words. Ye shall do no servile work therein. On this 15th of Nisan, on this first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Lord Jesus Christ is doing no servile work. He's not doing the work of a servant. Why? Because He said there on the cross of Calvary, "It is finished. It is finished." The work of redemption was done. And His servile work, His work as a servant was done. Remember what we read in Philippians chapter 2? How the Lord Jesus made Himself of no reputation. And He took upon Him the form of a servant. Over and over in His ministry, you read in the Gospels how the Lord Jesus said He came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. I am among you as a servant. He made Himself of no reputation. He took upon Him the form of a servant. And He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That took place on the 14th day of Nisan. But on the 15th day, on the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, from sunset Wednesday to sunset Thursday, the Lord's first night and day in the tomb, He is doing no servile work. Because the work of redemption, the work of salvation, was done. And He's resting there in the tomb. And on this 15th of Nisan, the Lord Jesus is resting there. And He'll rest there the second day of the feast, the 16th day of Nisan, from sunset Thursday to sunset Friday, His second day and night in the tomb. And He's there the third day of the feast, the 17th of Nisan, the weekly Sabbath, from sunset Friday to sunset Saturday, His third night and day in the tomb. And that's exactly what the Lord Jesus said would happen in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 40. "For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." And He was. And so here in Leviticus 23, verses 5 through 8, we have pictured the death of the Lord Jesus. We have pictured His burial. But now look at verse 9. "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When ye be come into the land which I give you, and ye shall reap the harvest thereof, then ye shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest. And he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for you." And when was the priest to wave this sheaf of the first fruits before the Lord to be accepted for us? Well, on the morrow after the Sabbath. The Sabbath that we're talking about. The third day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread ended at 6 p.m. on Saturday, the Lord's last day in the tomb. And at 6 p.m., the first day of the week, Sunday began. And this is the day, Sunday, the 18th day of Nisan, the fourth day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, that the Lord Jesus rose from the dead. Now we know that Mary Magdalene was the first one to see the Lord Jesus after His resurrection. Mark tells us that in his account, in Mark chapter 16 and verse 9, that He appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom He had cast 7 devils. But what time was that? What time was that? Well, turn over to Luke chapter 23, if you will. We're going to look at a number of scriptures. And that's important always to see what the Word of God says. Luke chapter 23. Now, we already know from John's account that Nicodemus joined Joseph of Arimathea. And Nicodemus is the one who brought the mixture of myrrh and aloes. And these two men took the body of Jesus, wound it in the linen clothes with these spices. And they laid his body in the sepulcher of Joseph. Now, with that in mind, look at Luke chapter 23 and verse 54. Luke's just told us in verse 53 what John tells us over in John chapter 20. And that day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew on. Luke is reminding us, just as John did, that it's getting very, very close to 6 p.m. on Wednesday, the 14th of Nisan. And at 6 p.m., it would be Thursday, this high day, this first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Now look at verse 55. And the women also, which came with him from Galilee, followed after, and beheld the sepulcher and how his body was laid. Now, Matthew tells us it was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary. Mark identifies the other Mary as the mother of Joseph. And he also mentions a lady by the name of Salome. And so Luke tells us that when they saw the sepulcher and how his body was laid, they returned, verse 56, and prepared spices and ointments and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. Now, we want to apply what we learned back in Leviticus chapter 23. These women returned to their houses, and at 6 p.m. on that Thursday, the 15th of Nisan, the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, that began, and they could do no servile work. We just read that back in Leviticus chapter 23 and verse 7. They could do no servile work. And so they didn't. So when did they prepare spices and ointments? Well, it would have had to have been on Friday, the 16th of Nisan, the second day of the feast. And they spent that day preparing the spices and the ointments. They had bought those things, by the way, Mark tells us. I believe they spent the whole day doing that. That's how much they loved the Lord. It was a reflection of their love for him. And then Luke tells us in verse 56 that they rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. Now, when would that have been? Well, it would have been the regular weekly Sabbath that began at 6 p.m. on Friday and ended at 6 p.m. on Saturday. Now, that begins to give us a sense of the timing. Matthew tells us in chapter 28 and verse 1, in the end of the Sabbath. Mark tells us in chapter 16 and verse 1, and when the Sabbath was past. The Sabbath ended. It was past at 6 p.m. on that Saturday. And the first day of the week, Sunday, the 18th of Nisan, began that evening. Now, the gospel writers are very consistent in what they tell us. Look at Luke chapter 24 and verse 1. Now, upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they, that is, these women, came unto the sepulcher, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. Look back at Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16 and verse 1. when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had bought sweet spices. They brought them too. But they had bought them that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulcher at the rising of the sun, very early in the morning. John tells us in chapter 20 and verse 1, the first day of the week, Sunday, cometh Mary Magdalene early when it was yet dark unto the sepulcher, and seeth the stone taken away. Now, look at Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28, and let's look at verse 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. So when we put all four of the gospel accounts together, we learn this. It's very early in the morning. It's beginning to be dawn, but it's still dark. It's still dark. And it's the first day of the week. It's Sunday. Now, Mark tells us back in chapter 16, verse 3, we won't go back there, but he tells us that these women said among themselves, "Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulcher?" You know, you can kind of see these women walking along. They're headed to the grave. And then it's like it just dawned on them. Wait a minute. Who's going to roll the stone away? We watched Joseph roll the stone. Brother Jeb was talking Wednesday night in his message a little bit about the mechanism of how that stone goes over the door of the sepulcher. And so they're thinking, how are we going to get it away? And I believe, it's just a thought, but I believe that those words had no more than gotten out of their mouths than verse 2 takes place. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, "Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay." Isn't that just like the Lord? Here are these women walking along. They're saying, how are we going to get the stone away? You ever had a big stone in your life? A big stone of difficulty, a big stone of doubt, a big stone of problem, and you're walking there and you're thinking, how is this stone going to get rolled away? And the Lord intervened. He intervened. He rolled that stone away. Folks, I believe that just before the earthquake, the Lord Jesus rose from the dead. And the purpose of the earthquake and the angel descending from heaven and rolling back the stone from the door was not to let the Lord out. He was already out. He had passed through the stone just exactly like he passed through the doors when they were shut and locked. And the disciples were in that upper room. No, the purpose of the angel rolling the stone away from the door was so that these women could see that the Lord had risen, just as he said. And so they could come and see the place where the Lord lay. And so the command of the angel is to go quickly and tell his disciples. Mark gives us a little more of what the angel said. In Mark chapter 16 and verse 7, he writes, "But go your way," the angel says. "Tell his disciples and Peter." And Peter. This is why John tells us. In John chapter 20, let's turn there. Because we kind of wanted to end up there. John chapter 20. Mark tells us the angel says, "Go tell his disciples and Peter." And so this is why John tells us there in chapter 20 and verse 2, "Mary Magdalene runneth and cometh to Simon Peter," doing exactly what the angel said to do. And John was there with Peter. And so she tells them, "They've taken away the Lord out of the sepulcher, and we know not where they've laid him." And again, as Brother Jeb was preaching Wednesday night, Peter and John ran together for some distance. But John outruns Peter. And he stops and he looks into the tomb, and Peter, when he gets there, he doesn't stop. He goes right on in. And John then follows him, and they both see the empty grave clothes. But I want to suggest a thought to you. I believe it's an undeniable fact. Mary Magdalene ran with Peter and John. She ran and got them, didn't she? Sure did. And I believe she ran back with them. And she stands outside of the sepulcher because it would seem that she had already seen the empty tomb. Remember, the angel told the women there in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 6, "Come see the place where the Lord lay." And so when Peter and John leave, they go back home. Mary stands outside of the tomb weeping. And she looks in and she sees two angels, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of the Lord had lain. And the angel asks Mary why she's weeping. And she tells them in verse 13, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him." And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, "Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, "Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus saith unto her, "Mary." She turned herself and saith unto him, "Rabboni," which is to say, "Master." Now look at verse 17. Jesus saith unto her, "Touch me not. Touch me not." Can you not in your mind, Zai, see Mary? If she's the Mary of Luke chapter 7, I think, who came and washed the Lord Jesus' feet with her hair and was weeping, and the Lord used her as an example of whom much is forgiven. The one who has the most forgiven loves the most. Who's in the house of Simon. But you can just see Mary when she recognizes the Lord. I believe she wanted to grab him around the feet. And the Lord saw that. And he says, "Touch me not. Touch me not. For I am not yet ascended to my Father." Now I want you to think about something. The events here in the New Testament fit perfectly into the timetable that we find, that we've been talking about in Leviticus chapter 23. On the 14th of Nisan, the Lord Jesus, the Lamb of God, Christ our Passover, is sacrificed for us. On the 15th day, the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, a day in which no servile work is to be done, the Lord Jesus has ceased from his labors because the work of redemption is finished and he's resting in the grave. And he's there for 3 days and three nights. And then on the 18th day of Nisan, Sunday, the first day of the week, as it began to dawn, very early in the morning when it was yet dark, I believe the Lord Jesus rises from the dead. This is where we are in John chapter 20, when the Lord appears first to Mary Magdalene. Christ is risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. But we read in Leviticus 23 and verse 11 that there's something else that needs to take place. The priest, God's command was, the priest is to take this sheaf of the first fruits and he is to wave it. He is to present it before the Lord to be accepted for you. Now, I believe this is why the Lord Jesus tells Mary, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. And so he tells Mary, go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. And when we bring in Leviticus chapter 23 and verse 11, why was he going to do that? To be accepted for you. To be accepted for you. This is when the Lord Jesus, our great high priest, the first fruits of them that slept, ascends to his Father. And he waves himself. He presents himself to his Father to be accepted for you and me. And he was. He was accepted because he entered there with his own blood. He entered there with his own blood. Paul tells us about that in Hebrews chapters 9 and 10. He says, but Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, his flesh, his body, neither by the blood of goats and calves, listen, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. And so as Mary goes to tell the disciples what the Lord has said to her, I believe he ascends into the holy place. He enters there with his own blood, the blood that he shed for you and me on the cross of Calvary. And he presents himself to his Father, and his one sacrifice for sins forever is accepted. And by the way, it would seem that this is when the Lord Jesus leads the Old Testament saints into the presence of God. These Old Testament saints whose blood had only been covered by the blood of bulls and goats. And Paul tells us it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sin. But now, the blood of Christ has been shed. The blood of God himself has been shed. And because of that, the Lord Jesus leads these Old Testament saints into the presence of God, because now the blood of the Lamb of God, which doesn't cover sin, which taketh away sin, has been shed. And then on this wonderful day, the Lord Jesus returns. Look again at Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. There's something here that, well, every time you read the Word of God, you learn something new. You see something you've never seen before. Look at Matthew chapter 28. The angel has told these women to go and tell the disciples. Now look at verse 8. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And now notice what happened. And they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. Now, what is the difference between John 20 and verse 17, where the Lord Jesus tells Mary, "Touch me not." And verse 9 here, where Jesus meets these women and they touch him. They held him by the feet and worshiped him, which is exactly what Mary wanted to do. The difference is Leviticus 23 and verse 11. The Lord Jesus, the first fruits of them that slept. The Lord Jesus, our great high priest, had entered into the holy place by his own blood and presented himself to his Father to be accepted for us, for you and me. And he was. And the result is that he obtained eternal redemption for us. Eternal redemption for us. The question this morning is very simple. Do you have this eternal redemption? This perfect redemption, as the hymn writer wrote, that is the purchase of blood. The blood of God himself. Oh, how he loves you and me. The message of Easter is amazing every time we consider it. The depths to which the Lord Jesus went to save our souls. Do you have this perfect redemption this morning? You can. Right where you are, you can come by faith to the cross of Calvary. And by faith, you can do exactly what the children of Israel did there in Egypt. You can take the blood of the Lamb and apply it to your heart. And this day will be the beginning of months for you, the month Nisan. Your flight from the bondage of sin and death. And you can claim the promise of God. It's never changed. It's never changed. And it never will. Exodus 12 and verse 13. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. And oh, the estimation of God's estimation of that blood. He esteems it such that when he sees us through that blood, he sees us just as if we'd never sinned. And God's judgment will not come nigh us when we put our faith and trust in him. Because the judgment of God against our sin was poured out on the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for the message of your word, the message of Easter, the message of the death and burial and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and what it accomplished. What it accomplished. We pray that if there are any lost here today, that they would see that message. He died for them. And we pray that right now, right where they are, they would put their faith and trust in you. And Father, if we know you today, we pray that our hearts would be renewed. Renewed in love for you. Love that results in service to you. To live our lives in a way that will be pleasing to you every moment of every day. We pray these things in Jesus' name.